بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خيرا لهم بل هو شر لهم سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings that He has placed upon us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to acknowledge and to express thanks for them. And we ask Allah ta'ala to continue showering His ni'mat and blessings upon us. They are innumerable, they cannot be counted, especially if we have to compare ourselves in the light of those who do not have it. And especially in this era here where we find our Muslim brethren in so many parts of the world are not even having a peaceful Ramadan where they can go and make the ibadat and we can fast. They are basically running for their lives. So it's also a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have this kind of peace amongst all other ni'mats. One of the lessons and one of the things that the month of Ramadan teaches us and gives us an exercise and a training to do is to rid ourselves of certain illnesses and sicknesses. We know that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that Ramadan is a month of sympathy. And also elsewhere, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have exercised intense, great amount of generosity in the month of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very generous generally. But the hadith says that in Ramadan he was more generous, and his generosity has been likened and compared to a wind which was known as the Muthira. Muthira means a very, very fresh breeze, a very good wind that blows and that brings goodness with it, that brings rain, that brings the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even more generous than Muthira. So when these two ahadith are made mention of in the context of the month of Ramadan, then we ask ourselves, what lesson am I supposed to learn from here? What quality am I supposed to inculcate? And what bad quality am I supposed to remove? And the quality that we are supposed to inculcate is that of generosity. If we are generous, we'll become more generous. And more importantly, if we are victims, we are victims to the illness of bukhl. Bukhl is translated as miserliness, as stinginess. In our words, we say kanjus, kanjusi. And these are those sicknesses that if a person is victim to, now is the time for him to use the month of Ramadan to rid himself of this spiritual sickness and the spiritual ailment and illness. What is it, my respected friends and brothers? What is the definition of this sickness called bukhl? It is an intense attachment to the material things of this world, to worldly possessions. Such attachment that it becomes difficult for a person to part from it and to part with it. He can't let go. He clings on to it. That is why we find that if we do not treat the sickness according to the ahadith and according to the teachings of the physical, the spiritual doctors, this sickness is going to increase a person's spiritual illnesses and is going to make him very, very spiritually ill in lots of other phases also. Must remember, miserliness, stinginess is very close to greediness. And greed is the desire to have more. Give me more. And you give him more, he still wants more. So he does not have an end to his want and his desire to have more. Whereas stinginess, and we must ask ourselves, have I got the sickness? Stinginess is, what I got, I can't let go of it. And I am never ever going to let go, no matter what the circumstances are, because I just can't let go. And both these sicknesses, greed as well as stinginess, have their roots and their origins in another sickness, which is called hubbi mal and hubbu dunya, the love for the material things of this world and the love for wealth. So if a person got intense love for it, then he takes out the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his heart. If a person's love for worldly things is so much that he cannot part for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we say that this is very, very destructive. So there is, alhamdulillah, there is a normal love for wealth amongst everybody. There has to be that love. But at no point in time must that love supersede and exceed the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if there was no love for wealth, then the fact of the matter is no one would have ever bothered to make the qurbani that they make every day, where they need to go out and earn. So while they are going out to earn for a need also, there are those who are earning much more than they need, and they are doing it with a great amount of enthusiasm. Not a problem. And there is a need for all those kind of extra wealth that they have in the extra dini activities or other activities that take place. So there is the thing like love for wealth. But the danger is when that love for wealth goes more than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That becomes harmful. A very famous example is normally given that when a ship is traveling, it needs water. It needs water to go on. No ship can move on dry land. But when that same water, which is so necessary for it to travel on, comes inside the ship, then the ship is going to sink. So in the same way, we need wealth, we need the worldly things to keep ourselves going and to carry out lots of activities for the dunya and for our own link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But no sooner does that what we love become so beloved that it enters in our heart that now we have no time for anything else. We have no compassion and we have nothing to do with anybody. Then in that time, my respected friends and brothers, we must remember that this water has now come into the ship. And now we are going to sink. It is going to be destructive. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, أول صلاح هذه الأمة الزهد واليقين. That the first thing that will cause the reformation of this particular ummah and the correctness of it is two qualities. One is yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faith in Allah ta'ala. And the second one is az-zuhd, that is abstaining from a lot of things that maybe we can do with, but we can do without it. Rather, we abstain from it. It is not something that if we don't have it, we will die. It's called zuhd in Arabic. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the وَأَوَّلُ فَسَادُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ al-bukhl. The first thing that is going to be the cause of the destruction of this ummah is going to be the quality of miserliness. When people are going to be so miserly that they cannot be cared about their own family, they cannot be cared about their neighbors, they cannot be cared about the ummah, they cannot be cared about humanity. And when they can't be cared about that, they're not going to be cared about their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected friends and brothers, it is there is a need for a person to earn his livelihood, but we must also remember it is just natural for a person to have love for the material things. Why? All material things come from the ground. You can say whatever you want to, whichever form it can be in. It can be in the form of the gold, it can be in the form of silver, it can be in the form of the cars that we drive, in the homes that we own, whatever it is. All these things, if you have to trace their origins, it comes from the sand, it comes from the ground. And human being, insan, is also made from the sand. So there is this natural inclination towards the sand. All these material things basically is sand. And when we are put in a qabr, and finally when we are reduced to what? Sand, that is what our reality is. So therefore there is this natural, you know, link and inclination. So to overcome that, and so that a person doesn't destroy himself, a person has to look into his heart and see, am I a stingy person? Am I from amongst those who have given preference to the worldly things and have thrown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aside? So my respected friends and brothers, for that we find Allah Ta'ala has given us one ibadat. We are three forms of ibadat basically. One is ibadat that is formed verbally, where a person praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. He makes tilawat of the Quran. The other ibadat a person performs is bodily, in the form of our salah, in the form of going to hajj and carrying out the various rituals there. Even this fasting is actually an ibadat that is bodily. And the third one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us is monetary ibadah. Monetary ibadah is been made so that man does not lose his road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not destroy himself. He does not become a victim to sickness of bukhal and miserliness. So therefore, my respected friends and brothers, this is an important ibadah a person must carry out. If a person cannot cure himself, the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to neglect the important fara'is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon him. He will not give zakat. He will not give what is faras. He will not give the wajib charity also. He will not even give the nafil charity, the optional one, the voluntary one. You know, where you just see someone is in difficulty or you find some project is coming up, he won't give there. He will not give even for his own family. He'll find all the time all kinds of excuses and he will not even give there. He will become so stingy, he won't even spend on himself because of the fear of detaching himself from that what he is so inclined to and that what he loves so much. So my respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it farz upon us. And we must remember that whenever spending takes place, it is in the name of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, when they are spending for the pleasure of Allah. So that is the first thing we are supposed to keep in mind. Allah ta'ala does not need our wealth. When we are giving that money, it is not going up there and piling up huge piles of whatever way the zakat has been given or the charity has been given. It's in the path of Allah, that means in conformity to the order and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is given with the niyyah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealth, obviously, we know physically it is distributed here. If a person doesn't give, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to become poorer. Just like when a person doesn't make sajda, he doesn't perform salah, it doesn't mean Allah ta'ala's position is going to come down, that Allah ta'ala is going to become less mighty. No. And if a person makes a lot of sajda, there are so many sajdas being made now in the month of Ramadan with all the tarawih and everything else, it doesn't mean Allah ta'ala's position is being elevated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His majesty is always in place. It's always there. In the same way, when we give, we're not making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rich in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need. Allah is the one who is a provider. So that is the thing a person needs to keep in mind. Then you find people, they start, you know, doing all funny kinds of tricks to avoid paying zakat. They avoid paying more zakat. So they will look for some loophole that if I will just, I won't give the tricks away here, but I will just not do this, so I don't have to pay extra zakat on that. And I'm not going to do this, so I'll save. Hey, if we are not going to give, Allah Ta'ala is not even looking for it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need it. It's not going to make Allah Ta'ala poorer. It is us who are going to suffer in the way that we are going to come further away from Allah. And the sickness that Allah Ta'ala is talking about is going to increase. So we find in the Quran Kareem also there is mention made. Allah says those who وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ, those people who are stingy with their wealth, they mustn't think that it is good for them. It is bad for them. Allah says it's very bad for people who are شَرُّ لَهُمْ. We go to the doctors and that, and they say you eat this and that. You know how dangerous it is. You know what's going to happen to you eat these things. So a person comes home and he has a nice different diet and a different way of eating. Now he changes his meal plan. Why? Because he's been told how harmful that thing is. Allah is saying, "Bal huwa sharrul lahum." It is very, very bad for them. So my respected friends and brothers, the first thing we need to keep in mind is that with full iman and yaqeen, that we believe that whatever we are spending came to us from Allah, and whatever we're going to spend is going to be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no strings attached, nothing except to please Allah ta'ala. Therefore, it is so important that when we do spend in whichever avenue, it has to be done with taqwa. It has to be done without the niyyah of showing anybody. Other day we mentioned in our tarawih tafsir that sometimes a person spends openly, but his niyyah is not to show the people. He just, people saw him giving it, so fine. But his niyyah was never to show the people, or to embarrass people, or to overwhelm and dominate people, that, you know, you are under me, I am giving you, you better see that you do what I tell you to do. So when a person is giving for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he must believe that this is a great reward for me. And if a person is afflicted with the sickness, then he must start very, very quick giving away large amounts, no matter how painful it is. He now is what we say undergoing a major operation. And when a person is very sick, then they do some drastic operations on him. They confine him in the ICU and they cut him up in different places and they put all kinds of things to him. So if a person knows that I am a real, what we heard earlier, the word kanjus, I am a bakhil, I cannot part from my wealth even when it comes to giving to Allah, this man, he needs an ICU. He must take large amounts of his wealth and he must just give it away to whomsoever, and he must make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that I have given it away. That is the starting point. Thereafter, it will become easier for him to downscale. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention in the Quran about those who did not believe. Spending is going to bring them closer to Allah Ta'ala. There were two partners in a business and they earned a profit of 8,000 dinars. So they split it between them, 4,000, 4,000. So the one brother took the wealth and he bought a land for 1,000. And the other one went and he said, I'm giving this in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I want to buy myself a land in Jannah. Then the second one, the first partner again went and he bought for himself a house. This person spent his charity. He said, Allah, I want a house in Jannah. Then the first brother went and got married. This person gave 1,000 of his charity and said, Allah, I want a hur in Jannah. And this person went and spent 1,000 on, the last 1,000 on slaves, on servants. And this one went and he said, Allah, I'm giving this charity so that you give me ghilman, the slaves in Jannah. Then it so happened, the fellow who gave all his wealth in the path of Allah needed wealth one day very, very badly. Some serious emergency came up, he didn't have it. So he went to his partner, he says, I need help. So his partner says, where's all your profits? So he said, I gave it in the path of Allah. He said, why? He said, because Allah Ta'ala will reward me for it. So his friend says, يَقُولُ وَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. You actually believe that. You actually believe that when you die, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is going to give you a reward for these things. Do you actually believe there's a thing like Jannah? Do you actually believe there is rewards, there is a palace, we're going to buy a palace in Jannah? So this shows the weakness of Iman. And this person here, he was a generous person. أَيْذَا أَمِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَإِذَامًا أَيْنَّا لَمَدِينَ. You actually believe that when we finish dead and gone and our bones are all reduced to sand and all the rest of that, do you still think Allah is going to give us a return for this? So this is the discussion they had. Then there is a discussion that's going to take place in the Akhirah when this brother who spent is sitting with his friends. And he is going to say to his friends, you know, I had one friend, and he told me like this. He said, do you actually believe? Where is he? He said, I think he's that side on the other side. فَطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. So they said, let's go and see. So there will be a gallery overlooking Jahannam from Jannah, where the Jannatis will get to see the Jahannamis. So the Quran Surah Safat, Allah says, فَطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. قالت الله إن كنت لتردين ولولا نعمة ربي لكنت من المحضرين. He says, they come and they see this man in the middle of Jahannam there. The one who says, you believe. Huh? You think Allah is going to give you a reward. So then he speaks to his brother. He says, if I had to fall in your plan, I would have also been destroyed. I would have also been where you are today. So what we are saying, the starting point is the belief that whatever we give, the smallest, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. The smallest iota, the smallest half a cent, I don't know if you still get half a cent, the smallest cent that a person spends for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, يَرَهُ, he is going to see it. And in this way, my respected friends and brothers, we continuously give in whichever avenue Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives us the opportunity. If the heart has been opened to give and a person gives just like that, then we must know that he is favored by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And at any point in time, if a person feels a bit of difficulty to give, one is you give because you're not sure of the project, or you know, you've got all these bogus collectors coming around from time to time, or the person you feel is going to misappropriate, that's a different story. We are talking about a person's inner self being open to spending from the namath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for his wanting to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, alhamdulillah, we know that now the month of Ramadan is here and a lot of people take out their zakat this year. We didn't speak exactly on zakat itself and the virtues and so forth, but the first thing that a person must openly, with a clean, open, big heart, happily say, I have got the opportunity to give zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must take out the zakat. We did not discuss this because alhamdulillah, just before Ramadan, you will recall a week before, we had a group of ulama that came from Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, Johannesburg branch, and they carried out quite an intense workshop here on zakat itself. So the masail were told to us there. For us here, for our purposes now, is that because it is Ramadan, and we need to use this month of Ramadan to cleanse ourselves from spiritual illnesses, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is a month of sympathy. So if we cannot show sympathy in or out of Ramadan, then there's a sickness. If that sickness is bukhl, if it is miserliness, never ever will sympathy come. We'll never ever be able to show sympathy. And remember, if we have the opportunity of showing sympathy to somebody, Allah looked at us. Allah looked at us, our wealth, and Allah made us the means of easing the difficulty of somebody. That means Allah Ta'ala has accepted us.